Good evening. You're listening to Turn on the News. I'm Tom Rowe. You're tuned into Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. You can go to free103.9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you hear here. We'll be back in a second with radio headlines from the tabs. Tom Rowe, you're listening to Turn on the News from Free 103.9. Daily look at radio art, radio news, and more. Behind us tonight is some lightning bolt. Hopefully that won't be too distracting. How can it not be? At Forbes, William Pentland reports that on February 22nd, Barack Obama signed legislation called the Middle Class Tax Relief and Job Creation Act of 2012, which allocated $7 billion in federal funds to support the build-out of a nationwide public safety broadband network based on a single national network architecture, according to Pentland in Forbes. He says, quote, it may have created a much-needed source of new demand for small-scale fuel cells designed to provide backup power, which is critical for sustaining the cost reductions achieved as a result of the federal stimulus. It's because they're setting up a national broadband network and would be relying on solar power in remote locations to power the towers and the electricity in remote locations. So many, many fuel cells might be needed, which might change the economics of that situation. This legislation, we'll go back to the Forbes article now, quote, the legislation reallocates the so-called D-block spectrum, which was used by TV broadcasters prior to switching from analog to digital in 2007, and has now been transferred to state and local public safety agencies. Writing in National Defense magazine, Stu Magnuson explained the broader political context surrounding the recent federal legislation. So this is a quote from National Defense magazine from Stu Magnuson. Quote, Congress bypassed the desire of the Federal Communications Commission and telecommunications companies, which wanted to carry consumer wireless traffic in the highly desirable D-block in exchange for promises to give public safety agencies priority access. Congress sided with a large coalition of firefighter, police, and state and local associations that wanted the D-block reserved exclusively for public safety. First responders already have exclusive radio channels, but the D-block will allow for far more data throughput and enable live streaming videos and applications that are now common on smartphones and other consumer devices. So a lot of emergency information, theoretically in the future, would be streamed over this D-block spectrum. Another Washington-based story. The White House on Monday, March 26, came out against a Republican-backed bill that would overhaul how the Federal Communications Commission operates. That's from The Hill. The House is expected to vote on H.R. 3309, the FCC Process Reform Act, this week. The bill, authored by Representative Greg Walden, a Republican from Oregon, would require the FCC to demonstrate the necessity of new regulations, restrict the types of conditions the agency could impose on corporate mergers, and require the agency to set binding timelines for its proceedings. It's basically a handout to the broadcast companies to say, hey, we won't regulate you too much. Over at TechDirt, there's a report that says, quote, the headline is, the Pirate Bay claims it's going to host the site via drones flying over international waters. We'll read the story here. One of the more amazing things about the recent moves, but let's start with the actual part of the story that's interesting. The latest plan from the Pirate Bay to see if it can serve the site from GPS-controlled drones flying over international waters. One of the technical things we always optimize is where to put our front machines. They're the ones that redirect our traffic to a secret location. We have now decided to try to build something extraordinary. With the development of GPS-controlled drones, far-reaching cheap radio equipment, and tiny new computers like the Raspberry Pi, we're going to experiment with sending out small drones that will float some kilometers up in the air. This way our machines will have to be shut down with airplanes in order to shut down the system, a real act of war. We're just starting, so we haven't figured everything out yet, but we can't limit ourselves to hosting things just on land anymore. These low-orbit server stations, LOSS, are just the first attempt. With modern radio transmitters, we can get over 100 megabits per second per node up to 50 kilometers away. For the proxy system we're building, that's more than enough. Radio weather for March 27th. No geomagnetic storms in the past 24 hours or currently predicted, or solar radiation storms or radio blackouts. All clear. On March 27th in 1899, Marconi transmitted across the English Channel. It was the first international radio transmission, and it was between England and France across the English Channel. In 1928, KGB AM in San Diego began broadcasting. In 1930, the first U.S. ship-to-shore broadcast took place. On this day in 1943, March 27th, Blue Ribbon Town with Groucho Marx was first broadcast on the CBS radio network. In 1964, on March 27th, the original pirate radio station signed on Radio Caroline. Wow, this is a big day in radio history, March 27th. On this day in 1994, radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh married his third wife, Marta Fitzgerald. All kinds of news on March 27th. All right, why don't we visit some Stockhausen cosmic pulses, and we'll be back with an interview, a news story actually, from the Free 103.9 archives. Thank you.
I was a little boy, I saw three men in outer space costumes come out of the radio. They climbed out of their frequency and into my head. They told me who I was. They were three small men. They were three small men.
In his inaugural address at the second meeting of the Italian Society for the Advancement of Science on September 11, 1930, Mark Twain expressed his belief that radio waves may travel long distances, even millions of miles beyond the Earth's atmospheric layer. According to Mark Twain, radio waves go to outer space.
Rode an invisible wave, but they were nothing like a rolling ball. They just kept walking till they found their way home. They were chewing on carbon, they were built to the core. That radio was fine, but that radio sore.
A stone thrown into a pond causes ripples or waves on the surface of the water, which move away from the point of disturbance in concentric circles of ever-increasing diameters until they reach the shore.
What happened to the three small men? Well, I've got one right here, and another one right here. They're right where I left them, right where they're found. Because we're all trapped into concealment, and we're all trapped by a bit of sound. Crawling into me, a bit of sound crawling into me, a bit of sound crawling into me.
He would grow up to feel at home in both Italian and British cultures. In his childhood home, Villa Grifoni, near Bologna, Italy, young Marconi developed an ardent interest in science and read widely, including the papers of Heinrich Hertz, a German physicist who experimented with electromagnetic waves. Marconi lived in a time when wires carried telegraph messages, yet such wires could not be laid over vast stretches of land and sea. Ships could not be warned of bad weather, nor could they signal for help. Marconi imagined, what if electromagnetic waves, without the necessity of wires, could carry a long-distance message through the air? What if the power of radio waves could reach ships far from shore? In his attic, Marconi built a battery-powered transmitter, and in 1894, he sent the taps of the Morse code across his father's estate, a distance of over 1 mile. But in his native Italy, he found little appreciation for his invention. So, at the age of 22, he sailed to England, a nation deeply invested in maritime interests. He quickly patented his black box, and in 1896, he formed the Wireless Telegraph and Signal Company, later renamed the Marconi Company. In Britain, a monopoly controlled all land-based commercial message handling, so...
You're listening to Turn on the News. A little Marconi there for the anniversary of the 1899 broadcast from France to England. Now we're going to a different anniversary. Freeway 3.9's 15th anniversary is this March 2012, and we've been celebrating all month with some audio archives. Next up is a report from the Columbia Radio News from Greg Clark about micro radio, and it includes some Free 103.9 audio. So stay tuned.
If you happen to be tuning around your FM dial in Williamsburg, Brooklyn on Saturday afternoon 2 weeks ago, you may have heard this. Just between 103.5 WKTU and Q104, New York's only classic rock.
Throw your hands in the air, and baby, like you just don't care. The party's over here. Oh, 103, 103.9 FM!
the budding MC calls herself Destiny. She is one of a dozen 9, 10, and 11-year-old radio enthusiasts from Harlem who have come on a field trip to visit one of New York's pirate radio stations. They're here at 103.9 FM to produce their very own broadcast. For about 3 hours, the rambunctious youngsters talk and shout, play tape-recorded interviews they have conducted, and take turns announcing their favorite songs.
How y'all doing out there? All right, we're going to play the Rugrats tape. I hope y'all enjoy this song. Good shout out to my family, my friends, and God.
Free 103.9 broadcasts from a 40-watt transmitter and a rooftop antenna. Compared to the 50,000-watt transmitters of many commercial stations, the signal is so low it's called micropower. But the broadcast reaches radios within a few miles. For more than a year, these children have been learning about radio at an after-school program at the housing projects where most of them live. The group is even setting up their own half-watt transmitter that will broadcast to their neighborhood. They call it WKDR, Kids Discover Radio. Pilar Alamo teaches the radio class.
I think this is a great motivation for them. You know, I write contracts with them where in order to borrow the equipment, they have to read me back the contract and sign it. Kids that usually don't read, they're reading that contract like crazy because they want to take the equipment home and, you know.
Alamo says the goal of the radio project is to empower community members, starting with the children, to tell their own stories in their own voices. The drawback is that these radio broadcasts are illegal. Neither Free 103.9 nor WJMZ have a license, and the Federal Communications Commission, which regulates all broadcasting in the United States, does not license micropower radio. When Congress established the FCC in 1934, it recognized the airwaves as public property, but it also recognized them as a scarce resource that needed to be controlled. Otherwise, the broadcast spectrum would become so cluttered that nobody would be able to use it. So Congress charged the FCC to regulate the airwaves and to do so in the public interest. The commission has jurisdiction over every kind of broadcast, from TV and radio to airline and nautical transmissions to cellular telephones, and it vigorously cracks down on unlicensed broadcasters. During the past year and a half, the FCC has shut down more than 475 pirate radio stations across the country. David Fisk is a spokesman for the FCC.
That system only works if everybody has an allocated, you know, slot to use and stays within that slot. The whole purpose is to prevent interference.
Free 103.9.
On Saturday night after the children have left, DJ Dizzy takes to the air. He says he understands the FCC's concerns, but he has been careful to select a frequency and a signal strength that does not interfere with legal stations or other pirates. But he still moves around a lot, playing a cat-and-mouse game with the FCC.
We don't broadcast from a regular position. We don't broadcast on any sort of regular schedule. And we try to just let the people that can tune in know about it.
While the program is Music Tonight, the station will try anything.
People do radio plays. There's been call-in shows. We had a party on top of the Williamsburg Bridge one night. All these DJs played on top of the bridge.
Dizzy envisions 30 antennas in the area, with different neighborhood groups sharing the same transmitter on a rotating basis. The station might broadcast a block party one week, air Hasidic programming the next, and Latin after that. He sees broadcasting as an act of civil disobedience, in which the people who own the airwaves are reclaiming them in the public interest. He says the FCC is only protecting the commercial exploitation of the public's airwaves.
The airwaves are this like natural resource, like parkland or something that's been devastated by commercial development. I mean, it's like if all the parks in the country had factories on them by these people making their own private money.
Recently, there are signs that the FCC is listening to these and similar arguments. In January, the commission proposed granting new 1,000-watt and 100-watt licenses. FCC spokesman David Fisk.
The idea was that if you could find spaces where you're broadcasting with lower power, then you wouldn't be causing interference with some of the large stations, but you'd enable either a church or a community group or an ethnic group or a college or even a high school could have a short-range broadcasting going, you know, to a particular narrowly defined community in a short area.
But those who already own broadcast licenses don't buy that argument. They say sticking a whole lot of small stations in the radio band would interfere with the already established stations. This is the position of the National Association of Broadcasters, which opposes the FCC's low-power proposal. While pirate operators believe that a plethora of micropower stations is the answer, they also oppose the FCC's low-power proposal. When FCC Chairman William Kennard visited New York last month, about 20 supporters of micro-broadcasting rallied outside the New York Law School, where Kennard delivered a speech. They carried signs that read, "FCC don't stomp on me," and "Micropower to the people." About half the protesters were involved with Steal This Radio, a pirate station for Manhattan's Lower East Side. The activists argue that the 1,000-watt and 100-watt licenses being proposed are still too powerful for most community radio purposes. Michael Eisenenger was one of the demonstrators. He says granting new low-power licenses won't change a thing if the licenses are simply sold to more commercial stations.
We have all sorts of mass media, you know, that we can go to for the corporate or the commercial message. Broadcast really lends itself to, you know, local people talking about local issues.
Until last week, another pirate station was broadcasting in Williamsburg.
WJFZ 89.3, this is Buddha Princess.
WJMZ was on the air three nights a week, broadcasting everything from Latin music to live techno to community activism. The Buddha Princess's Tea Party was on the air every Monday night. Half the show was about sex and the other half about city politics. Tonight, the host and her guest talk about plans to auction off community gardens and the mayor's efforts to enforce an obscure anti-dancing ordinance in New York nightclubs.
Join us as we create a liberated dance zone by forming the world's largest hokey-pokey around City Hall to protest Herr Giuliani's crackdown on unauthorized dance.
Just a week after this program aired, and a few days after the Hokey Pokey protest, the FCC shut down WJMZ. Field engineers from the FCC's New York office found the station's studios last Tuesday, and they threatened to fine the pirate operators and seize their equipment if the station didn't cease broadcasting. The FCC will be accepting public comment about its proposal to license low-power stations until June 1st. But the commission made clear that low-power licensing is not an effort to legalize pirate stations. In some cases, pirates who have continued to defy FCC regulations will be banned from applying for low-power licenses. If it's decided that low-power is the way to go, changes could be announced by the end of the year. For Columbia Radio News, I'm Greg Clark.
It's the flame, Holmes. Cold chilling in effect.
Public Enemy. In their music, kind of rebel-rousing, they talk about, well, things like, you know, the white media is very upset about some of the things you say in your songs. The way I get them causing people are very upset by the things you're saying. On the air. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I've seen these guys. I saw them warm up for the Beastie Boys last year.
How were they?
How were they? I thought it was one of the most appalling things I have ever seen. There were two gentlemen in cages on either side of the stage with fake Uzis. There were, Jesus, it was unbelievable. And when I see somebody who's wearing one of their shirts, I think that they're scum too.
Hello?
See you later.
Hello? See you later.
Yeah, why do you even pay homage to these people by putting these monkeys on?
Hello? Hello?
He doesn't have the guts to tell him that. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Hello?
Yes, you need it. Yes, you need it. You need it.
Terminator X.
Thank you. Terminator X is one of the members of the group. It's on the air. It's on the air. On the air.
Go back to Africa?
Okay, we're going to, believe me, when we go to these phones, people are going to tell you to do just that, Chuck. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, Alan, I think that right liberals like yourself have difficulty understanding that Chuck's views represent the frustrations of the majority of black youth out there today.
I do understand that.
Yeah, but before he came on, you were branding...
Well, if you had read the stuff I'd read about him and the way he's been portrayed in the American press...
You're underneath my roof. Painted fingers in my...
seems to stir up, arouse, incite revolution.
That was Imo with Electronically from Tampa Sucks. And before that, Public Enemy with Incident at 66.6 FM from Fear of a Black Planet. You've been listening to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Go to free103.9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you hear here, including links to international radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Tune in every night at midnight on Free 103.9 online radio.